What up?
MGD Tuesday.
What's up, guys? What's
happening, guys?
Happy, happy Tuesday.
You're in that hot seat.
Welcome, welcome. It's been a minute.
We're back. Well, we missed last week because of Halloween, obviously. I mean, we kind of debated about it back and forth. Who's going to be on? Who's going to be out trick-or-treating still? Who's going to be putting kids down after sugar rushes and all that kind of stuff? So we skipped last week, but we're glad to be back, and we're glad to see everybody jumping into the live chat, joining us tonight. So thank you guys for coming back.
Yes, sir.
Off the grass, live
fast.
Get done.
Winterizing, all the winter prep stuff. How about we all grab a glass? Keep off the grass.
Shh. Oh, sorry. Never mind.
I like that cup. That Turkmen.
That glass.
Hey. Somebody else is joining us tonight. Hey, what's going on?
Keep off the grass.
Keep this off the
custom,
grass.
That's custom artwork.
That's great stuff. Great stuff.
Those of you who have been looking at our Instagram page at all, having some fun with AI photo generator that Zach and Ryan have done. Some interesting.
That's us right now.
That is a cool picture.
Yeah, good times. AI is taking over, so they're infiltrating.
I really like Mike Tyson one.
Yeah. OTG.
He watches. He tunes in.
Yeah.
He's joining the live chat.
Put that up.
That's funny.
Yeah, so hopefully that means we'll have some new merch coming soon, so keep an eye on that. we still do have a website, kotg.live. It is still live, so go and check it out. We also have our merch.kotg.live. Check it out. But let's talk winterize, guys. I mean, some of you, luckily enough, still have some pretty good weather. You guys are still growing, maybe still green here in Utah. Like, I mean, all last week was frost and frozen and below freezing all week. It's warmed up a little bit this week, but it's about to dip down again. Rained all day today, snow in the mountains. So, I mean, for us, it's dunzos. What about you guys? You guys still got a little bit of life left in you over there?
80 degrees here today.
Wow.
Dry, bone dry.
For real? You've been irrigating? How did that well?
No, hopefully that'll get finalized this week. So been deciphering what pump to put in the well to be able to feed the existing irrigation without a lot of work. But then I'm turning around looking at adding roughly 20 more zones. So it's going to, this place is about to be Swiss cheese for a little bit. Mm. About to be running ditches everywhere. So want to hold off on seeding because I want to dig all the ditches. But then again, not at sure when all that's going to happen. So I think tomorrow I'm just going to seed and just see what happens. Too many projects.
Huh? Could try spring seeding.
Hell, if it stays like this, I'll be seeding December if it's still 80 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did that last year. You were pretty much green all year, and you were mowing. Maybe you took like a month off, and that's it.
We didn't really get cold until into the new year.
Mm.
So weather's crazy. But just no rain. I mean, it's a dust bowl. It's so dry. It's insane.
Yeah, we got up to 78 today. It's been pretty nice these past few days. Wife took the kids out to the creek during the day, which was cool. They've been homesick with, I don't know, a cough that just doesn't seem to go away, but they feel fine. So they got to go do that and get out of the house. So that was awesome. But yeah, the grass is definitely slowing down, but due for another cut for sure. I think last time I cut it, it genuinely was raining, and I think, you know, I probably shredded some of the blades while I was doing it just to get the job done. So I want to sharpen my blades up and give it another trim this weekend. I think I can, you know, clean it up real nice and maybe see if I can't get a couple stripes out of it, you know, do a couple double passes or something. But yeah, definitely slowing down for sure as we get cooler and the days are shorter.
Thank you.
That's kind of crazy. It just seems like everybody, because, you know, Grace is talking about Virginia, Jason was talking about Kentucky, they're all up high 70s and 80s. So it's like you guys hit some kind of heat wave there. Maybe you guys are going to catch what we're catching right now in the next few days. But apparently Drunk Lawn Guy, without me knowing, put in-ground heat in his lawn, so he's going to have grass.
Oh man!
So that job.
I was actually just looking on the Weather Underground. We're going to be in the 60s for quite a while. So I mean, I can be going for quite a bit. I think last year it was sometime in December when I, you know, could have stopped mowing. You know, I maybe got, I snuck in one or two more that probably weren't necessary. But yeah, I may get to, you know, get a few more weeks left in there for sure. I don't think I'm going to need to use any kind of irrigation or anything, even if I, you know, could turn it back on and open it back up. I'm just going to let, you know, nature do its thing, you know. But yeah.
But I do have to say, like, I am super happy with where I'm at and, like, where I kind of ended this season because I aerated, or I had it aerated. And then, like, a week later was when I started putting, I put gypsum down and some, the Live Earth product, Humate down. Got a little bit of winter weed and feed down, and then it rained, and then I was able to do like one more sprinkler watering, and then that's right when it started freezing, so I had to blow up my sprinklers. But, and you know, it's rained again, so it's still kind of keeping the fertilizer, you know, bringing it down in there. But I'm super happy. Like I told you guys, but I ended up having to run my sprinklers for 22 hours the day before I aerated.
That's crazy.
But I have MP rotators, right? So we kind of calculated it only puts down like 0.14 inches in an hour. Seven zones ran for 3 hours. So, you know, barely, not even quite a half inch of water down in there. But when the guy aerated, he's like, oh, it's super muddy. But I mean, he was pulling out some pretty good size cores, which is exactly what I wanted.
Are they set that way because you need them to go that slow so you can get enough zones going at once, or why do they put out such a small amount?
Just thicker raindrops, basically. So here I got them because of the wind that we have, using your traditional sprinkler, half your sprinkler would end up on your driveway or out of the street. Much misting. So MP rotators are a thicker raindrop, so it just takes a little bit longer to put down. And then it cycles through, you know, so it doesn't do them all at once. So that way, you know, one zone runs for 30 minutes, and then goes another one, and then it'll circle back and we'll run it again, you know, maybe for another 30 minutes. But now that the ground's wet, it's going to absorb it back down in.
Yeah, okay. That's cool.
But with the heavy clay that I have in my soil, you know, and when Jack was on here with Earthworks, we went over my soil tests, and it's just, you know, he pretty much called it where it looked like a bunch of rocks and stuff was dumped into the ground. And that's essentially what it is and what has happened.
Yeah.
Just really working on the soil. And so I was happy to get that aeration done.
Yeah, man.
And then get that product done right afterwards. So it got down into those holes there, you know, get that oxygen and the moisture and stuff down.
Need to get you some Live Earth stuff.
Yeah, well, I did. There's an IFA here, and so that's where they, one of the distributors for them.
Oh, nice.
So I did the 50 pounds per 1,000 square feet, which luckily for me is only two bags.
Nice.
So I only had to put two bags down of it, and yeah.
You know, Brandon, I wish you would film a little bit more of this stuff.
I know.
A lot of cool shit. Like, you blowing it out would have been awesome.
We need Simple Lawn Solutions to send him a GoPro.
Well, I did record blowing out one of the sprinklers, but I didn't do a whole tutorial and stuff of it. But, you know, I just need to post that sometime.
You could just get some cool slow motion B-roll and then find a cool ass song and just throw it in. And
yeah, just like set the camera somewhere, just record it, and whatever happens.
Like a little color grading, watch a couple YouTube videos on color grading and make it all cinematic.
Yeah. I need to get like the 6 and 8 GoPros that you guys have and set them all up and around my area and my different angles and stuff. So, exactly.
The thing about the video, and it just adds several hours to what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
That's
for sure.
Well, and I'll tell you, when I blew out my sprinklers, it was 26 degrees outside. And I didn't feel much like taking any longer than I had to, because then
I was going
to
ask you, Brian,
my neighbors,
because I was asking you guys earlier when I was getting ready to do mine for the first time. You showed me the little port that you used. Mm-hmm. What kind of air compressor do you have to blow them out? Do you have a big one, or what's your process for that?
It's pretty big. Some people say it's big. I think it's a 20-gallon tank one.
Ooh, that is pretty big.
Nice. Yeah, it's pretty big. Nice. Yeah. But airflow, or the how much it pressurizes out, or whatever that's called, it's not super strong or as consistent. But I mean, it'll be no problem. You know,
when I was doing all like my research and stuff about like, okay, can I do this myself? Everything was saying, okay, you need to have, you know, you don't want crazy high PSI, you know, somewhere 60, 70 is basically all you need. But what you really need is you need to have like, what was it, 40 or to 60 gallons per minute or something.
Yeah.
Airflow and everything on the market that's like less than $3,000 was like 4.8. And I was like, okay, there's no way that's what I'm going to do if I'm going to DIY it. So I need to like watch.
It still works. No, it still works.
Yeah. Man. You just have to do it a few rounds. Like that's all you got to do.
Just continually run.
Yeah. You can't just let it go. Yeah. Continually. Yeah.
Did you use a tip like this, like a male tip?
Yep. Yeah. You put that in the part that goes, essentially what you're doing is you're removing the backflow, right? Cause that's the most expensive part of
your system. That about yours. Yeah. That was interesting how yours can come out like that.
Yeah. You remove it and then you put in this other plastic piece and then you screw one of these nipples onto it and then the hose and it shoots into the valves of your sprinkler system.
Yeah.
And you just run one sprinkler and it will just blow air through it and all your water will go out. And that's why you see that, you know, stuff that starts happening. So that's all the air that comes out. So,
I know all about that.
That's when the blanks start shooting, you know? And then you go on to the next zone, you know, as long as you got a compressor that will continually run while you're doing that. And I don't set mine too high anyways. Plus, my sprinkler heads are only 40 PSI, so they won't allow anything more than that to go through.
Yeah. Yeah.
So once those 40 PSI goes through, you know, it doesn't matter. So it keeps it pretty consistent.
Do you have so your backflow is that's the dual check valve assembly, but
it's like a Wilkins.
Yeah, I think it's
the Wilkins. Yeah.
Remove the assembly part. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. How can do that? Mine's I have the similar, but it's the Watts brand and it doesn't come apart like that, but, supposedly it can take quite a bit of PSI and I don't think it wasn't going to harm it pushing it through there. So it seemed to work fine. So fingers crossed, it'll work fine next year. But they have the inlets too. Like, so I was looking at the PVBs. There's a different kind where you can actually plug right into the little outlet port and use that. So I figured I could use that too. And that would just go right through the backflow as well.
Yeah. See, so this is like my backflow is the Wilkins. Yeah, there you go. And then all you're removing is the black piece that goes inside.
Yeah.
So you just unscrew it. It's just got a little wedge and then you pop it out. And then the other piece is this thing right here. You put it inside of it in its place. And then you blow the compressor in that side.
I should have bought that one. When I was doing my research and stuff, I didn't see that one. But I didn't look too deep. I basically, there was like a list of like approved ones on the Missouri's like water or something government page. And that was one that they had here locally that was like, I could get it. And I was like, all right, I got it. this seems normal, but that would have been a cool one to do mm-hmm. instead. I wish I would have looked into that a little deeper.
And the nice thing about it is a lot of the neighbors on my street have that same backflow. So I could just take that one orange piece and go down to theirs.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's cool.
Blow theirs out. Yeah.
Yeah, get them all. Yeah,
blow all the neighbors them. Out and then yeah. go to the next neighbor.
Just
go neighbor.
House to house and just blow them all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. It's a good neighbor. Just
line them up one after the other.
Do,
wouldn't take long.
Depending on how, like, how large the irrigation system is, like, you have to blow it longer.
So mine actually is longer because it's restricted to that 40 PSI body. So it doesn't blow out as hard, right? So I've got another neighbor, his yard, he doesn't have that. And so we hook it up and he'll go through his five or six zones in like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Just because it goes.
That's how I was kind of wondering. I'm done with irrigation. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, everybody else is, if you don't have a restriction on there, a regulator piece on there that's preventing, you can put you could have 100 PSI running through there. I don't think you'd want to, but, and just blow them all out as real quick. Yeah. But well, it's good.
Other than blowjobs, what else is everybody doing? Nate, what are you up to?
I saw you were aerating. You had your aerator out.
Yeah. So for sprinklers and irrigation and everything, so like during the year, I leave all my sprinklers and hoses like in my mulch beds. And so then, I keep my timers hooked up and everything. So I got all mine unhooked and kind of drained out and hung up in the garage. And then I always put those like little covers over my faucets on the outside. I don't know if anyone else does that. So I went out and hooked those up, put those over top of it. But then today it was 70 degrees out. So I actually got my sprinklers back out and hooked them up. And I actually ran them for like an hour today. But yeah, it's last weekend. It's kind of nice. And I did my aeration, which I've talked about. My plan this year was to do it very, very late this year. Normally I do it Labor Day weekend, like most people do, but decided to not tear my yard up during renovation season. And so now it's all tore up, but so I did mowed, bagged up all my leaves, aerated the whole yard. And then I put down some of the live earth products, the humic product, the soil conditioner. I put down 600 pounds of that stuff on my whole lawn.
Nice.
Took me a long time just to get it out of the box, carry the 50-pound bag, cut it, put it in the spreader, and then like it's only covering 1,000 feet. So like you do your 1,000 feet and then you gotta go back, grab another bag.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh man, it took more time just filling the spreader and spreading it than anything.
How many bags was it again? How many bags did you say it was?
I put down 12 50-pound bags.
Wow. That's
what I did. So
busy guy.
Yeah. And your spiker is an 80-pound, right? An 80-pound spreader?
How's your back? No,
it's a 50.
Oh, okay.
Spreader, it's a 50-pound spiker. So, yeah, it fills it right up. But, like, when I originally first think about, like, putting 600 pounds down, I have just, like, this top layer of, like, humic and my lawn's going to be black. But, honestly, like, you couldn't even tell. I mean, you can't even see anything. So,
how was the texture of the product? Was it
good?
Was it granular or was it
I have some, I took a lot of video actually. And so I'll try and be posting some like videos and some still shots and stuff, but.
Is it like traditional fertilizer or is it something different? Cause I was just curious.
It's running black.
It through the spreader.
Yeah. Okay. It spread perfectly but fine.
It's just it's like granules, like normal.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay. It's I couldn't remember if we saw that.
Yeah. Like a round granular. Okay,
that's pretty small. You know.
Okay. For some reason, I had like the idea of like you're spreading like I don't know topsoil or something, but no.
It's
granules. Yeah,
but I mean you gotta have your spreader open enough to spread at a rate of 1,000.
Yeah,
or 50 pounds per 1,000 square foot, which is heavy.
Yeah, that's true.
So you have to have it quite open quite a bit, and I mean I made I don't know five or six passes, and then I'd stop and I'd grab another bag and fill it up, and make a few passes and stop and fill it up. So. Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, so like I said, cool to see how it does with your aeration right out, you know, right
yeah.
at the same time. So that'd be sweet.
Yep. And then I put down, I put a last application of Propeat down, put that down. And then like I said, watered it a little bit today, but same with Ole, like we haven't had rain for a long time and there's no rain in the forecast, but we're sitting like 60s for a high and at night, like right around 30. So we got frost in the morning. My lawn is actually still growing. When I mowed before I did all that, I was cutting off a decent amount. Still got leaves falling in the backyard, so that's annoying. but in that, yeah, like I said, aerating, you know how your lawn looks after you aerate. And then,
yeah,
like, it's and so, like, my trucks are completely gone because when I'm running over it with the aerator, you know, I'm just going every which direction. I'm not following stripes. So I was going all which directions. So now it's just kind of all tore up. But
a hot mess, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did. Instead of my regular pattern, I mean, it was like, you know, vertical, horizontal, nothing too fancy or anything.
What we really want to know, Nate, is about the hill.
That is awesome.
Those I went up a little bit on the hill and tried to aerate it, like, just, you know, like a little bit up. And I got a lot of bare spots on my hill this year. I don't know, like, what's going on. But actually, I threw some seed down, some rye, just right now, since I saw it was going to be 60s for, like, the next, like, 2 weeks. So I don't know if I'll get any germination or not. I mean, I watered today, but it's one of those things where I was like, I'll just mess around with it and throw it out there, see what happens. Just kind of playing around with everything. More than anything, I just wanted to get rid of some partial bags of stuff I had in my garage. Yeah. So
I did that, like, a month ago.
Yeah. But, no, like I said, it's... I'm pretty much done for the year. I'm hoping to cut at least once more. I'd like to maybe this weekend mulch it, and that way that all the turds I turned up from aerating, chop some of those up and break some up and get it back into the soil.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think I'll be mowing a couple more times, but we'll see. I'll probably put the rider away and then just do the Time Master. But
so speaking of winterizing, you going to do anything to your rider? This is your first year having a rider. Where are you storing it?
It's in my garage right now. So my truck is now in the driveway because I got a couple mowers in there. And then, I've had those bags of live earth in there. So I've had a lot of stuff in the garage, just like literally no room for both our vehicles. So I got to figure out a way to get everything condensed and kind of do a garage cleanup and see if I can get both vehicles in there. So, but speaking of, like, when you're talking about the hill though, when I was aerating, I went up and I went to turn and like I got stuck basically. Like it didn't have enough to like pull the aerator up and around. So I was like sitting there spinning. I was like trying to like buck the, you know, trying to get some traction and whatnot. It was pretty funny. So I got definitely in, like, my daughter was. I had my daughter out there with my GoPro following me around, and she definitely got that. And I'm like, oh, that'd be pretty funny.
Demonstrated again what you were doing?
No, I was just doing this. but yeah, so we'll see. Like I said, I'm curious to see how this is going to do with my lawn. I'm actually kind of thinking more springtime what it's going to look like versus what it looks like now. I'm hoping spring is... real strong is kind of my hopes, but
yeah, I'm kind of excited to see what this does for coming around the springtime.
Yeah.
So are you going to be winterizing any equipment, or are you wait till springtime and kind of get it ready?
I mean, actually, like right now, like, you know, like I'm not trying to leave my gas tanks full or anything, like, you know, I don't typically like run out all my equipment. I mean, my garage never freezes. So everything I keep in my garage is, you know, not that bad. I'll either I usually buy a little bit of stable. I'll just splash some of that in all my gas tanks, but I don't get carried away with a lot of the stuff I do. I mean,
I remember the first year I was like, all right, I'm draining gas, I'm changing out the oil, I'm sharpening the blades and get it all ready. but then it was like, I wanted to still use it because there was like a week or something. It was like still nice in November. And I was like, dang, I'm already, everything's already closed up. So I typically wait until spring myself.
Yeah, I typically change my oil in the springtime.
Yeah.
And sharpen my blades. You know, it kind of gives me that itch of like, you know, when the weather starts getting good and you pull your core samples and you're kind of getting there, then you start, I start prepping all that stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not a, I usually don't do too much in the winter. I just put everything away. Like I said, sprinklers hung up and kind of organize the garage a little bit, stuff like that. But I don't have any irrigation, so nothing to blow out there. Just hang my hoses up. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about, I was thinking about doing a, like a funny reel or something like that. Like just picking up my hoses, hanging them up and be like, oh, like blow, like go like, or like going to the end of the hose and just like
air compressor and just
I was thinking about that's what I was thinking about doing, like taking the air compressor to the hose and just blowing out the, blow out the irrigation hose. Heads.
Yeah, man.
It would be better if you just put your mouth on it and blew.
But
oh my word.
It'd be funny.
I'm loading up your pictures, Oli. But hey, did we talk about Bill's?
Yeah, Bill.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, so I did my my actual first time really doing any kind of serious winterization was actually blowing out my sprinkler system just before Halloween, right? So we were supposed to get that, we got that cold snap that came in and a super cold overnight temperatures down in like the 20s for like a week straight. So I did that the weekend before Halloween. Yeah, it worked out really good. Actually, I wasn't really sure how I was going to do it. I didn't really think too far ahead, but I had thankfully bought a like a shutoff valve that had a drain so that I could screw into that with an adapter and then get like a quarter inch threaded thing to do my air compressor attachment to. So that's it down. If you look at the picture there, it's down at the bottom, that little guy there, that's like my like temporary solution I was able to do while I waited for a more permanent solution. The actual dual check valve itself, those little outlets up on top, you can unscrew them and swap them out with a threaded one, similar to like some of the pictures that Brian had showed earlier. And you can thread into those and you can just do your air compressor right into one of those too. So that was going to be my permanent solution, but there was a delay in shipping. So thankfully this worked out. I don't think anything actually froze though, but now it's all blown out and good to go. And like we were talking earlier, I got an 8-gallon air compressor from Home Depot, and that really worked. That worked fine. You know, I don't have a whole ton of PVC, so I don't have all these different like zones and stuff. So I just run the, you know, one head at a time. And I think the air compressor maybe can run it for about a minute or so before it needs to stop and refill. So I basically just like cycled through each head and did that like 4 times. And basically when there was no more misty mist coming out, I figured, all right, I'm done. Everything said you don't want to let it run too long with just air because it could like overheat the gears or something, I think. Did they say that to you, Brian? Is that something you've heard them say before?
Yeah. I mean, once you start seeing it, I mean, where you feel like it's done sputtering and got most of the water out, you just kind of stop.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's still spinning. I mean, you can hear the gears and stuff spinning. Yeah. So for the ear green, you don't have valves. It's just...
No, the heads themselves are a valve, so I'll just pop open the app and just do a quick run on you know head number one, and it'll pop up and just run, and then air will come out, and then I just once I see the mist kind of stop, I'll turn it off, or you know when the air compressor runs out of juice, it'll just pop down, and then I'll stop it and run the next one after it refills back up. Yeah, it was actually a pretty easy process. It was like a little bit intimidating at first, but I was like, all right, you know, once I started going, I was like, cool, this is no big deal. Like this is, you know, air compressor was $160. The little parts, I think, from Home Depot was maybe $10 or $15. And shoot, now I can do it myself every year. So done. And then I can use that to, you know, blow up tires and whatnot around the house. So yeah, worked out really nice. Hopefully, right? We'll know for sure next spring when I try to turn everything back on. Don't flood.
Yeah. Make sure you did it right.
No, I think the heads and the PVC will be okay. You know, it's just the backflow preventer. You know, that's the part where it's like, all right, we'll see how this copper does over winter. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, the meter sits there fine, so it should be okay. I'm not too worried about it sitting there. But yeah, so that's all done. Now I'm just, you know, cutting a little bit. I bought a new rake. I'm going to try to do some light dethatching. There's some areas of my grass where, like, I feel like the grass blades aren't standing up. They're kind of, like, laid over. And when I'm mowing and they're not really getting cut, they're just kind of laid over. So I want to, like, fluff some of that up maybe before I cut the grass again this weekend. So I got this, like, kind of wire thatching rake I'm going to rake it up with this weekend and see how that does. So that'll be something fun to try.
How tall are you mowing?
I don't really know. I got it set to like the third highest setting on my, recycler or super recycler. So I think it's like probably a little over 3 inches, something like that. Not super high, but it's not short either.
I've been mowing mine at 2.5 and I can't believe it.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty short for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it used to be 4 inch.
Yeah. Next year, my goal is to like be somewhere around 3, 3.5 max.
Yeah.
Most of this year I was at 375, but it's just crazy to walk on fescue at 2.5. It's just, it's different. And it's still striping, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. A lot of that stuff is, you know, fescue has to be mowed at 4.5, 5 inches. And when I was trying that, one reason I had to do that is it was growing so fast, I had no choice but to mow it tall.
Yeah. Couldn't mow often enough to keep up with
it. Yeah. And, but anyway, it would lay over like you're talking about, just mat over.
Yep.
And then by the end of the year, you know, even if you're rotating, your patterns, you'd have tire tracks that were laid over, and I'd go back with the leaf blower and blow that back up.
That's a good idea too. Yeah.
To where you could mow it and get it cut off before overseeding. But yeah, I started that whole 2.5 thing because I thought I was going to overseed before the Equip Expo. Well, it didn't work out. And then I thought I was going to get it seeded again and it didn't work out. And then I'm finally going to seed tomorrow in November with it 80 degrees. And hopefully come Friday, we'll start seeing some rain. But I can't believe how bone dry and how hot it's been. I mean, it's stupid. Like two, 3 weeks ago, we had the heat on. Now we got the air conditioning back on. I mean, it's crazy.
That's crazy. So I got your pictures loading up right now.
You were going to wait for the seeding until you got your pipes laid and everything, but that's been delayed.
Yeah.
So, you know, how long... When are you trying to get that, and when you anticipate being able to pick that back up again, essentially? Is it going to have to wait till next year at this
point? I hope not. But I don't know. I got so many things, kids, work, blah, 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 volleyball. Now they're doing more volleyball. I don't know.
Is the
originally I was just going to seed. Originally I was going to seed where I had irrigation and leave where there was no irrigation just alone and get all the ditches. Get everything in, get them backfilled, get them tamped, let them settle, and then seed. And I'm like, well, I don't know if that's going to be 2 weeks or 2 months. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then, like, I put a lot of thought into the well pump. You know, normally you drill a well for a house. They throw a 10 or 12 gallon a minute pump in it, and there you go. That's enough to wash clothes, take a shower, yada, yada, yada. I'm trying to run the zones like they did before and then also add a bunch of zones. I'm so sick of dragging hoses and dragging sprinklers and getting up at 4 a.m. to move stuff. And through the year, I've done that. Like every 5 to 6 hours, I'm moving something, even if it's 3 or 4 a.m. and I'm so over dragging hoses.
I know. So, I think if anybody could justify getting irrigation, it would be you.
Full irrigation.
Yeah. So is the well hooked up to anything right now, or what's the situation there? Is it done?
No, it's just a pipe in the ground that you look down in there and you can see water right this minute. Okay. That's all it is. But this week we should have the pump in. I'm going to do a 2 horsepower, 25 gallon a minute. And nice. It'll have an inch and a quarter pipe from submergible pump up, inch and a quarter, make an inch and a quarter main in the ground, and then feed all the old one-inch stuff. So been trying to study a bunch of stuff about friction loss. And not only does the – it's crazy. The pump's got to pick the water up 160 feet to ground level. But then from ground level in the backyard, continue going towards the road is probably another 20 feet of rise and probably 400 foot each. I mean, it's just crazy. It's going to be pushing. It's going to have a fight. It's going to be, you know, fighting.
I mean, how much more would it be to get a bigger pump, or would it make any difference? I mean, with the,
well, see, then if you're not careful, you get a bigger pump. And the whole thing that kills a well pump is it cycling on and off, on and off. So if you get it too big, you know, you get too much of a pump and it's click on, click off. Well, next thing you know, you're twisting the pipe in the well, you're twisting the wires in the well, and then you cycle the motor so much, they're continuous duty. It's better to come on. You need to size it where it comes on and it just runs.
Yeah. Okay.
So just a lot of shit to think about.
So you got to kind of have a sense of like, okay, what's my anticipated usage or rate of usage, and what pump would sufficiently accommodate that without being overkill.
You see, most of my zones have five heads, and they're set up at somewhere like, say, three of the, well, say four of those will have 4 gallon a minute in them. And then the other one will be against a house where it's only spinning 180. So you will put a smaller nozzle in that particular head to where it, you know, it's turning twice as much as the others going 360.
Yeah.
So that's like 12. That's somewhere between 15 and 18. Yeah, a lot of head tonight. Yes, sir. It's hard to talk about irrigation without the word head.
Yeah, man. A lot of head.
But hopefully everybody's getting spayed and everything. Life's good, you know. But move on. But anyway, just a lot of math, a lot of thinking, and a lot of pipe delay. Good God, here we go.
Well, yeah, man, and these are like significant decisions that you're going to have to kind of live with for a while. So you want to get it right the first time, because it's not cheap to do it, and you don't want to have to fix a mistake or redo something or be pissed at yourself for not doing it right the first time or whatever. So yeah, man, it's a lot to think about.
Store it in a cool, dry, out of the sunlight. Definitely have some mouse traps.
Yeah.
If you got very little, you can just put it in like a 5 gallon bucket with a lid or some type of tote. But the worst thing about storing grass seed is keep it out of the heat, keep it out of the moisture, and mice. Mice love to get into grass seed. God, to make a mess with grass seed.
Stinkers. Yeah, I take all my stuff out of the garage and I bring it down. I have like a locked off section that's unfinished. It's got ventilation that I can put some of the fertilizer and seed and some of the things. They're away from everybody. Making room for it all.
Definitely want a winterizer.
Yeah, and then I got those moisture sucker things. Ooh. That's a familiar tune.
Josh's question a little after this next segment.
I came a minute early.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing. It's going to happen, so.
He's watching from the shower.
Who is? Oh, it is. That's
awesome. I love it. Hey, send a picture right now.
No, don't.
Take Zach a picture.
If you do, make sure it's belly button up.
We used to get quite a few shower pictures from Drunk On Guy back in the day. Now he's famous, so he has to keep on the down low.
I think.
All right. Well, that beautiful music is our second favorite song here at KOTG. Means that it is time for KOTG Lawn of the Week. And man, this is an amazing little segment we've been going for quite a few years now.
Yeah, man.
And all thanks to John Pocock over at Pro Pete. And the Wilcock family, of course. Great guy. A lot of you guys get to hang out with him at GIE. So you guys know how cool he is. So he decided to help us out, help all our viewers out. And we've been running a little contest called hashtag KOTG Lawn of the Week. And you posted out on Instagram in a post or a reel. And oh, Nate got a picture.
All right. Yeah, buddy. That's awesome.
He is just there.
Keep it from the shoulders up.
Yeah. So KGG Lawn of the Week hashtag puts you in a very elite club called the KGG Lawn of the Week Club. And you get to be in the Discord with some of the greatest guys who know their stuff about lawn care. If you ever want to know who's got the best lawns out there, just search that hashtag and you'll see some amazing dark green, beautiful, lush blades of grass out there on Instagram. If you do hashtag and you win it for the week, you get to contact us and we'll get your information over to ProPete, and you can either choose your NPK of choice of theirs for their ProPete fertilizer, or you also get to try out their Fossil product, which is spelled P-H-O-S-U-L. You get some phosphate, awesome stuff that they do, and or put that down. So I don't remember who, which of the two that we chose. Which one was it again?
We went with, oh, I know. Do you want me to say?
Yeah.
Drum roll, please. A fellow Missourian this week, KC Denali out of Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy is growing, well, I don't know. It's not, it may not be pure, but he did overseed with Artemis this fall, Oli. So he's nice. A little fescue freak with the good stuff out there in Kansas City. So
shout out. I have his Instagram pulled up here. KC underscore Denali. Yep.
Okay. I was looking at.
Oh, yeah.
This is his recent submission here.
I was stalking him a little bit today, and it looks like he's, you know, he's only recently been posting lawn, so he's looking good, and he should continue. So I want to see that take over slowly, take over his page.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
That's looking good. I wish mine looked good like that.
It's like a nice kind of nice vibe in the backyard.
He's even got a little ProPete already down there.
There it is. Yeah.
He knows. Oh, looks like he won that one from Oli.
Yes, sir.
Got some ProPete from Oli back there.
That's awesome. Look at those. Look at that. Oof, that's clean.
Yeah, that was a week ago.
Yeah.
That's good.
Very nice.
Well, welcome to the club, KC underscore Denali. Yes, his name is Matthew Rasmussen.
Congratulations, brother.
We'll reach out to you and get your information so you can get some more ProPete. Or maybe you might want to try some Fossil. But keep at it, guys. We're coming into winter, and you guys know what we usually do for the winter time is we're looking for those people with, if you still got a great lawn, definitely show it off. Some of you guys in the warm season. We got Brad, the lawn sauce, is already calling out the winter time for his Aloha State grass that he's going to be showing it off. But if you guys are in warm season and maybe you're doing some cool season grass over the winter, you know, hashtag KOTG Lawn of the Week, post it. We'll get you guys some fertilizer for sure. Or if it's dead and brown and covered in snow, then show us some Christmas lights, show us some Thanksgiving decorations, show us striping in the snow, whatever. Get creative this year.
Make your elf do perverted things like
or reindeer.
We should do something for December time, you know, like come up with a Christmassy kind of outdoorsy, you know, yard decoration type thing, you know. Let's brainstorm, and we should do something like that. I think that could be fun for the off season for sure.
Yeah, if we can get you guys
some, we have a lot of creative fertilizer,
we will.
Heck yeah.
But otherwise, we'll take a break from passing out ProPete's gracious offer. But usually over the last couple of years we've been doing this, you guys have really pulled through and have some great submissions. So keep it up.
Awesome.
All right. So back to Josh's question. He was wondering to know if Are there any certain fertilizers or weed and feed type you guys would put down before winter?
Good question. Yeah.
I went just with the Scott's. It's Scott Winter feed and weed stuff. Costco had it, and I think it was like 10 bucks off or something for this huge bag. And that's what I've put down the last few winters. So I definitely recommend that. It's like powder. What you put down, so you got to be really careful how you do it. So make sure you put it down the correct way.
You put down weed and feed?
Yeah, I put it down before the winter.
There's a lot of that people way, that do that.
Yeah, I haven't done that in the past, but I do know that people around here do, and I can see that, you know, there are some weeds that do pop up over winter, especially in like the mulch beds and stuff. So I know they're out there for sure. You know, I have some extra prodiamine. I could potentially do it this year, especially if it stays as warm as it did last year, potentially.
I'm about to send something to drunk one guy right now.
Well, hey, did you overseed though, Bill?
Justin, Brian's giving
yeah,
out.
Yeah, but that was a while ago. That was, it's been what?
Hey, don't volunteer me for that service.
At this point, mid-September, so.
I think the big thing with that, though, is like with your the root soak. I mean, a lot of times they say if you overseed in the fall, you don't even want to use a pre-emergent in the spring.
That's possible, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't needed to. I don't think I will, but it was something that people certainly do.
Like, honestly, like I put it down. Like, I just put it down, and I won't see weeds until end of July, maybe beginning of August of next year. I may have to do another type of a treatment, but yeah, it's worked good for me.
But honestly, like right now is a great time to go hit like Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot, all that stuff.
Oh yeah,
to look for clearance like weed and feed, because typically weed and feed is, you know, like spring, May, around Memorial Day, and a lot of times you can find it right now clearanced. 10 bucks a bag when it's normally 40 or something like that. Honestly, like I bought it and I'm not huge. I don't like weed and feed. I don't like it, but I'll use it as a spring just for the nitrogen and the fertilizer. Cause typically it's got a decent nitrogen amount in it. And then whatever weed kill you get or whatever, it's like, that's a bonus. But I got two bags in my garage right now that I bought that are, I think 10 bucks a bag. And, you know, I'm just literally going to use it next spring for the nitrogen. So that's a tip I'd recommend is just check and hit up
some of those. Down when it's wet to really get that kill on the weeds. It's got to stick to the plant. So you got to put it down when it's wet if you want that.
Yeah.
Part. If that's not, what I'm saying. Like, I don't use it for that aspect, honestly. I just, like, I'm ready to put some nitrogen down, or it's that time. I just throw it down, and if I get one weed that gets killed out of it, okay, you know.
This is a good time. Like in the years past, the Andersons has always done like a Black Friday deal. So that's when I've bought my pre-emergent for next spring is on Black Friday. I think it was like 20% or 15%, one of the years. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. You know, there might be some discounts leading up to the holidays too for folks. And this is a good time to buy it because prices go up and things can be hard to find, especially if you're used to buying stuff on Amazon. Like sometimes I have to resort to Amazon, but you know, they jack prices up. So I'm sure the cost now would be different than it would be in the spring, possibly too.
My main goal this winter is to bring back my big deck next year in perfect condition. So
nice and clean.
What do you got left to do with that? Where are you at on it?
Pretty much put it back together and get a couple seals. But I mean, the whole motor was pulled out of it. I mean, literally it's ripped into pieces still. And we were all, everything is fixed. It's just, and putting it back together, we realized we had to get a couple different parts. So we have all that, but I'm just saving it for a winter project. So
nice.
The return of a big dick.
Yeah. We'll see.
Right.
Man, I'm hoping for 72 inches in 2024.
Ooh, dang, that would be sweet.
Imagine you get done almost half the time.
You lost an inch, and now you're trying to gain 12 inches.
Hey, man, sometimes you just got to step up. You know, you got to go back a little to realize you got to step back up. You just got to get up.
How would those stripes look? My goodness.
That's the whole thing I'm thinking. I think they'll look better. and then it will cut down just a little bit on mow time. So,
I mean, why stop at 72 though? I mean, don't they have
That's a good one.
What's the one, the lucky green one? How big is that one? Wasn't that 100 or something?
104, yeah, I believe.
You could see if he can lend you his for a little bit, test it out.
Did you guys at GIE see those? They're called World something, but they have like a joystick as the controller.
Called a World. Somebody had one of those. I forget what was it. Was it?
But you literally it's a zero turn. You don't go like this. It's just like one stick.
Yeah. I saw one. Yeah. I don't know what it was, but I saw it.
Like a fighter pilot.
Yeah, I think those would be cool. But they make big decks. I know they have like 72, 90.
Yeah.
Well, Ferris had that one. Isn't Ferris has got that like 144 or something? We saw it when we were at the Equip.
No, I think you're thinking about like X-Mark has that big deal.
X-Mark, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was right there by, wasn't it? Like behind Spiker? Didn't we see it there?
Probably so. It's like, got the tri-folding deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's X-Mark.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It was over $100,000, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's really insane.
Yeah.
I think 72 inch will be just fine.
What kind of fields are you mowing with that thing, honestly?
Well, it has to be levels can be.
Mm-hmm.
But
nice.
Yeah, I just found what I'm looking at. It's called World Lawn. Yeah. I can't find it though. Oh yeah, right here. So let me show this. I'm gonna share my screen. I think this would
stop
be cool.
It, Nate.
See how that's like? You just use that joystick right there.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just grab onto that. Okay.
No, it's a country clipper.
That's what he said right there in the thing.
Yeah, they're made in. I think they're made in Cordon, aren't they? Josh might know. I think they're made. Where the heck are they made? I want to say Cordon, but yeah, that's actually kind of down by where I work. They're all over the place around here, like the dealerships and stuff.
I think that's sick.
Yeah, I haven't really seen them with the joystick though. I see them with the normal.
Yeah, like I've seen a lot of them with the joystick. There's a couple. Sail around.
Who's the one that had like the steering wheel on their mower? That's what I was thinking of at GIE. There was some company.
Wasn't that the Ego?
The Ego?
Yeah, it had like a little.
Well, I mean, Cub Cadet has a steering wheel. I think that's lame. I think that's pretty stupid.
That's kind of weird. Honestly. It's like a little bit different.
They look really, I think they look dumb, but that's me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, might as well use a steering wheel. It's zero turn.
Right. Yeah, they look homeowner. Yeah. I don't know.
But, yeah, I would want the full control if I'm gonna do a zero.
So besides your getting your mower all worked on, Zach, what are you doing right now to prepare? You know, are you still maybe cutting for a while or
how
you?
Well, sure as hell ain't mowing stripes. That's for sure. He's mowing dang curvy circles.
weird pattern.
Yeah, I got bored. Had to try something new. I actually haven't mowed since I've done that. But I'm due to mow. So I probably got 2 or 3 mows left.
Nice.
I mean, I probably got, I'd say till about Thanksgiving.
So what's the thing with like people that put down like, isn't it like you put down a bunch of potassium or something in the winter, like fortify or something, or what's, does that sound familiar?
Is that of course, true? Snow mold.
I don't know. People just talk about, you know, load it up before winter. I always put down.
When you get some Pro Peat 7414.
I've also heard recently, I've been doing some reading about putting down, apps of prodiamine. Is it prodiamine? No, propazonicol, I think. Putting that down for fungus. Yeah, for fungus control through the winter and preventing snowball. And then that way when you get to spring, you don't have it. So I've been doing some just kind of reading it up on it. I mean, I haven't dug deep into it, but I've seen a few articles about like now is a good time to apply that.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt, I don't think.
But if you, has anyone else done that? I've only had it once. I had it once on the north side of my house, and but I mean, honestly, like I had it, and you know, after the snow melted in March, I went over there and raked it all up, and I actually took my blower and kind of, you know, fluffed it all up and let it breathe, and shit, like a week later, it's gone, or you know, it wasn't really, didn't amount to anything. But I've heard and seen other people where it actually kills off good section and chunks of their yard. So
yeah, we didn't really get any snow, but you know, things are cold and wet, and you know, the, if you get rain, certain areas are all always in the shade, and they may not really dry out. It could make sense to do an application as you get into wintertime, just knowing that conditions could possibly contribute to that, or at least maybe make it more ready to go come spring. You know, when things start growing again, maybe the mold kind of wakes up. I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting idea. There you go.
Yeah, I guess I've never even messed around with like fungicides and stuff after kind of, you know, summertime. You know, sure. Once I get to fall, I've never touched it. So
yeah, I don't think I've noticed problems necessarily leading up to spring. You know, granted, they say, you know, when you get a lot of rain and you're loading up with nitrogen, you can kind of mask some issues because you're getting a lot of growth and you're pushing stuff. So it's possible that, you know, you could see a difference, and maybe we're just not seeing it because we're loading it up in the springtime. But if we're doing that anyway, what's the point of putting it down if it wouldn't make a difference? I don't know. Who knows? It's a good thought.
Yeah, I'm going to do some more reading on it and just see.
Yeah, be worth looking into for sure.
Yeah, probably won't do it, but I'm just curious why or whatever. Well, I'm pretty much, in my mind, I'm kind of done for the year. With any applications, I'm kind of done for the year.
Yeah.
I did my, usually I don't do like a true fall nitrogen blitz, but this year I put down more nitrogen in the fall this year than I probably ever have. It wasn't anything crazy or anything, but I've done more applications than I've ever done. So we'll see.
How cold are you guys getting now, Brian?
Well, I mean, it's kind of it's warmed up the last over the weekend and
yeah,
going that. Into today, but yeah, I mean, it's like 38 degrees outside right now, and we're going to be 50s. For the next week or so, down into the 30s, 38s. So, you know, my grass may grow another quarter inch or something like that. And like I said, I haven't winterized my lawnmower yet, so I do plan to at least go back out and, you know, just trim it off because I'm keeping it at 2 inches because that's what I've done to try to prevent the snow mold. You know, from grass laying over on itself, I think the 2 inches helps. So not as much snow will lay down. I didn't have hardly any last year. So, yeah.
Do you guys all going into winter, like your last couple cuts, do you try and drop your height of cut? I know you're doing yours more for overseeding and everything, but like Bill, or do you?
I brought it down a little bit, but not super short. There was a time in the spring where I had it down. I think maybe, I don't know. I had it lower than it is now, but it's not as low as it was in the summertime. So yeah, I've brought it down since letting it grow out and cutting it a few times after overseeding. And now it's like I think 3 notches down from the highest setting. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's probably a little over 3 inches. And I mean, it looks good, you know, other than some sections that just aren't quite thickened out yet, or the areas that it's laid down and I want to kind of fluff it up.
That's one question I get asked a lot, like, oh, hey, what height should I cut my lawn at going into winter or not? I don't know. Like, to me, I'm just like, maybe just a little bit lower than normal. Mm-hmm, sure. This is my personal opinion. Like, as long as you keep up with it, because I think what happens is you do your cut, and then maybe the lawn's not growing. It's not growing as crazy, but you still get, you know, that half inch growth or whatever it is. And so then when it actually does stop or you get snow, it probably needs cut. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
And so to me, it's like, if you can just stay up on it, I don't think there's a reason to really cut it lower than you normally do.
It's like, take advantage of the days when you can cut it if you can. That way it had it because you know, it'll end up raining or snowing when you're like, crap, I should have cut the grass yesterday, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and that makes sense too. And I think, you know, the idea of keeping up on it, guys like us that kind of more or less keep up on mowing, you know, regularly versus some homeowner who like does it once a month. It's like, hey man, should I lower my height a cut before? He's like, yeah, go ahead, scalp your grass because you've been cutting it at like, you know, whatever. You know, for them, maybe it would start turning into snow mold more if they didn't cut it short, like, you know, but for us, that may not be quite as important because we, you know, theoretically we're pretty diligent with our mowing patterns and schedules and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, I cut, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, it was 34 degrees when I was out there cutting. Yeah, it was like, so last weekend.
That's a cold mowing day.
Yeah, not a few days ago Sunday, but the Sunday before, it was 34 degrees. It was cold out, you know, I mean, and I had growth. And then from that until this Sunday, I still had, you know, at least half inch to an inch of growth. And then more than likely this Sunday, you know, this Sunday or next Sunday, do it again. So,
yeah, man, I sharpen my blades and mm-hmm. keep the deck at the same height. They just give it a nice, you know, and help get a good clean cut. That'd be really nice. Mulch it up and edge real good and blow off the sidewalks, you know, soak up those.
Yeah. Is that something like, so let's say I haven't sharpened my blades all season, right? And I going for this last cut, maybe it's kind of tearing the blades. Is that going to contribute to snow mold? Is that going to, you know, have it let some disease in? Because, you know, because they talk about having that crisp.
Could put it under stress.
Yeah.
I think it does for sure. I mean, it certainly, it stresses it and opens up more surface area for stuff like that. You're shredding it rather than cutting it. Maybe the healing process is not as good. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks bad, too.
Yeah, it does. Sure.
Because the next day it turns, you know, white. It looks, you know, discolored.
That's what mine's kind of looking a little bit like right now. Is it's got a little bit of that haze and some. Mm-hmm. So I want to kind of clean that up.
Keep sharp and keep cutting. Yeah. If it's growing, mm-hmm. you're mowing. It's growing. Right?
That's something I'm going to do next year is try to do some. I'm going to not necessarily sharpen blades, but I am going to keep them. I'm going to touch them every 5 hours, like every two mows. I'm just going to take and touch them with that. Magnematic, the water cooled 8200 that I seen up there at the Quip Expo. I've got the 8000, but it's not water cooled. But I was talking to the guy and told him I wanted to do some testing, you know, far as turf help and just keeping a clean blade. Just, you know, just about, you know, like before you cut a steak, you sharpen your knife.
I don't know if I've remember that. Is that one of those contraptions that like hold your blade at the right angle and you just kind of like, meh? Like
no, that's it's nowhere near the same. I'll send you a video on that.
Right. Curious.
No, it's a stand grinder system, blade balancer, everything. It's
sweet.
Top dog.
Nice.
So, but I was just telling him like how I wanted to keep the blades just super sharp.
Don't wait so long in between. Just kind of give them a quick little every other mow or every couple mows.
So now we're just like,
what happened to sharpening your blades like a man with your hand?
With your hand?
I'm just kidding.
What, you just rub it really fast and grinds down.
Your hands are
like rubbing sticks together.
Yeah.
That'll be rubbing sticks together for a fire.
I like my teeth.
No, that sounds sweet.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that would be cool.
All right.
Right on, fellas.
Cool.
Right.
Well,
this was good. This was good.
Hopefully everyone's getting ready, prepared, thinking about it, planning it out. Winter is coming. Unfortunately, we can't stop it. Some start sooner than later. So wish you all the luck for your winter season.
If you're still mowing, hashtag KOGG, lawn of the week.
Box. I'll be at the game this Saturday. If anyone else is going to be there, hit me up. I'll be there.
Awesome.
Get out of here. Go Hawks.